we have a tree in our backyard. And it's a big tree. The branches stretch over at least four properties, but we're the property that has the trunk in our backyard. And it was about a year and a half ago, our neighbors at the time decided that they didn't like the branch that was over their yard. And the way they decided to deal with this was to cut it off themselves by rigging up a very precarious-looking ladder off of their back deck, and then attaching a saw to a very long pole, and then chopping the branch off at vaguely the property line between the two. And I am not really an expert at tree pruning, but when we saw this sort of disaster in tree pruning, we, you know, did a little reading on it. And, you know, you're supposed to take, if you're taking a whole branch off, you're supposed to take it off close to the trunk or the next, you know, the branch that it adjoins to so that it can heal over properly. And if for some reason you can't do that, you know, you should make sure it's a clean cut so that there aren't any diseases, the tree's healthy. And they managed to cut off all of the leaves and the small little branches, but, you know, leave a long bit of branch. Hadn't made it to the main trunk yet, so a large branch with nothing on it. And their cut was by no means clean. It sort of went maybe 7/8 of the way through and then had a jagged bit sticking out. And it was just sort of heart-wrenching to look at. Someone who doesn't necessarily know a lot of trees, you sort of felt pain for this poor treatment of the tree. But there wasn't all that much that we could do. So we just watched. Well, and talked about it a little bit, but, you know, watched. And I was thinking about that tree as I was thinking about the theme for this week, because the theme for this week is related to forgiveness. And forgiveness is what we need at the points where we have the poor cuts, the poor tending, that jagged bit of bark and tree sort of sticking out when it should have been cut off cleanly, when it should have been taken close to the trunk so that it could heal. Forgiveness is that thing that we need, that thing that we're looking for or longing for when that's the case. So I want you to hold on to that image of the tree. Do you want to come in? I want you to hold on to that image of the tree as we think about this idea of forgiveness, and we'll come back to it. Now, something that we don't talk about all that often anymore is sin. So, this is the old story about sin. The old story about sin is something called original sin that says, back in the day, some people made a poor decision. You know, they were first human beings. They made a bad decision, and because of that, everyone since then is sinful. And the only way that we can get rid of that sin was Jesus dying for us. That's the old story of sin. And it's not the only story of sin that's happened in the past. There's been a lot of other stories and conversations about it, but for some reason, that boiled-down version has dominated a lot of our discussion about what sin is and about what Jesus' crucifixion meant, to the point that all of the other meanings have got in the way. And it's been used as a way to create walls, to create divisions. People who don't accept this idea, therefore, are sinful, and there's nothing they can do about it. Right? So it's a convenient story if we're on the right side of it. Although arguably not that many of us are really on the right side of it. And so some churches have started saying, well, this isn't the right way of understanding sin. This isn't reflective of our understanding of the goodness of people and the goodness of God. And sometimes what churches do is they sort of say, let's not bother. Let's not bother thinking about sin. Let's not talk about it. Let's not confess things in worship. Let's focus on the good, because we know we're good. And we know God's good. And we know God offers grace. And we want to talk about love, because that is the most important thing. And sometimes that's what happens in churches, because it's affirming. It inspires us. It leads us to better action. It encourages us not to build up those walls and that judgment of other people. And also, it's easier, because we don't have to think about what sin is if it's not that old story of sin. But the thing is, if we don't have some concept like sin, and if you don't like the word sin, you can pick another word. But if we don't have some concept like sin, then we can't have a conversation about forgiveness. And if we don't have some concept like sin, and if you don't like the word sin, you can pick another word, then we can't have a meaningful conversation about grace. Or about love. Because the meaning, the depth of those things comes from the magnitude of them. Only by recognizing what has gone wrong can we think about what forgiveness means. Or can we think about what grace and love mean, the implications of it, rather than just the Hallmark card of it. So here's a possible definition of sin. If you don't like the word sin, pick another word that works for you. Sin is what divides us from God. Sin is what separates us from God. And if we think about sin this way, it's not about actions. It's not about what's done or what's not done. It's about a state, our state of separation, that experience of a barrier, a wall that has been created. And when we talk about God, we're not just talking about an abstract idea of God, but the sacred that exists within all of us. So that sin is what separates us from ourselves, from our true selves, the divine within. Or sin is what separates us from the person beside us, the sacred within them. It's that division, that separation, that barrier that gets in the way of relationship, of connection, of love. And once we think about sin that way, or if you don't like the word sin, pick another word that works for you. Once we think about it that way, then the idea of forgiveness has meaning. Because forgiveness is the thing that takes down that wall. Forgiveness is the thing that opens that door that has been closed. Forgiveness is the thing that creates the window, the new possibility that wasn't there because of that separation. And that wall, wherever it is, it might be between us and ourselves, so that we don't feel whole, we don't feel complete, or it might be between us and someone we love and care about, or it might be between us and someone we don't like that much but still goes to this church, or it might be between us and other communities and other parts of society or the world. But wherever we experience that wall, that barrier, somewhere there's a need for forgiveness, for that wall being taken down. And once that's happened, there's a possibility then of new relationship. Not the old relationship that was there, but something new, something that's developed because of that separation and new connection. So, forgiveness. When we talk about forgiveness, I think it's important to say what forgiveness is not. And I'm sure there are things that aren't on my brief list, and you can add them. But most importantly, forgiveness is not saying anything you do is fine, and things can just continue on the way they are. That idea of forgiveness is just putting up with harm is what gives an excuse for people to say, no, you should stay with your husband, even if he's hitting you. Just forgive him. Or to say, no, you should stay in that situation that is causing you sleepless nights and endless grief. Just forgive them and move on. Forgiveness isn't that justification of any action. It's not accepting ongoing harm and just putting up with it. It's not saying anything goes. That's not what forgiveness is. And it's important to say that before we think about what forgiveness is. Oh, and I wrote down on this piece of paper, forgiveness is also not forgetting. It's also just putting something out of your mind that's been harmful. Okay, so what is forgiveness? Most importantly, I think forgiveness is a way of letting go, a way of not letting words or actions of the past get in the way of living in the present. It's not letting what has happened determine who you are now and what's possible in the future. It's not holding on to the harm you've experienced, but instead learning and growing from that in whatever way makes sense for you so that something new might happen. So it might mean that forgiveness is a process of becoming wiser or more understanding of other people's perspectives. Or it might mean that forgiveness is a process of becoming more yourself, finding where your strength and resilience is. It might be that forgiveness is about reflecting on what is most important and not letting the other things get in the way. And I would suspect that forgiveness is often not something that happens instantaneously or even quickly, but is a gradual process. Now, what forgiveness looks like depends on what that wall, what that separation is in your experience. And I can't speak to all of those experiences. And some people will find forgiveness an easy thing. And that might be because the walls that I encounter or that you encounter are not that big. The divisions aren't that high, and it's easy to take down those walls, to open those doors. And it might be that your experience are much higher walls, much deeper hurt. And forgiveness is something much harder and more difficult. And where that's the case, it's worth remembering that there are windows that could be opened. Or it might be starting to take down the wall, but not expecting it to come all the way down to the ground. So I don't presume to offer advice to your experience, to your hurt and pain. I came across a website that's called The Forgiveness Project. And on it, there are accounts of real-life stories of hurt and suffering and forgiveness. And I've only just started reading some of those stories, but they are far beyond the pain and hurt that I have experienced in my life. but there's an honesty to them about the power of forgiveness and also its challenge, its difficulty, what it doesn't mean when it doesn't happen. The Forgiveness Project. And I meant to say, when we were talking about those walls, when we were talking about sin or whatever you want to call it, that we often think of it just in individual terms, just about our actions or our inactions, our words or our lack of words. But there's also the collective aspect, what we as a group do, what we as a church do, what we as a community do or don't do, say or don't say. And that also creates those walls or those barriers that divide us. So we get back to our tree. That poor tree, hurt, poorly cared for. And the next year, in the spring, it somewhat desperately, it seemed, sent up a whole bunch of branches just shooting straight up, trying to put out leaves, seek new life. And according to my websites on tree pruning, this isn't necessarily a good sign. You don't want it putting that much energy just into one place. That's not the healthiest thing for the tree, but it's also a sign of that new life, that new possibility, that movement to renewal. Well, that was true for the tree, and is true for each of us. In those hurts that we experience, in that anger that we experience, in those walls that we experience, that bursting forth of new life, of new possibility, or in the language we're using today, of new relationship, new connection, new vision. That's what's possible. That's what can happen in different ways, in different forms, in different shapes. That's what can happen when we say to someone, "Last week I spoke to you in anger, and I'm sorry for that. Even though there was a lot going on in my mind, I shouldn't have." Or when, as a community, we refuse to be silent about the inequality that we witness and say it's not right that our community has so much and others around us do not. Something should be done about that. Those walls should be taken down. Or when we come to the table and say, "This is a vision of new relationship, of the connection that exists between each of us." Because at this table, this vision is that we all eat together. All are welcomed, and those divisions, those barriers, those differences that we bring are broken down. They no longer matter. And instead, there's space for everyone. There's a welcome for everyone. And new relationships might happen. In our scripture reading, we heard, if you come to bring a gift to the altar, and you think of your brother or your sister and something that you hadn't resolved with them, maybe some words spoken in anger, or a difference of opinion about how to do worship, or differing views about what should happen to the tree outside, you should go to them. Leave those gifts, go to them, and reconcile. And then return and present your gifts to God. Break down those barriers between each other before doing that nominal action, that visible action of reaching out to the sacred. And so sometimes when we share the peace, in Christian worship, we do it just before communion. In honor of this passage, this reminder of what sharing the peace means, of taking down those walls, of resolving our own differences before we come to the table. So that's what we're going to do now. And in this context, And in this vision of new relationship, we say, "Peace be with you." Let us greet one another with signs of the peace of Christ.